The show that the fans deserve.
I'd consider myself a realist, all right, but in philosophical terms, I'm what's called a pessimist.
The show that the city needs.
This town deserves a better class of sports radio. And we're gonna give it to them.
This is Talk Sports with John Reed and Cody McClure.
Leave one wolf alive, and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves. Happy Thursday to you as we come into the fan run studios. John Reed, Cody McClure, Ben Lee, Cam, the gang's all here. How are we today? Thumbs up from Ben Lee. Cody?
Doing pretty well, John.
Yeah?
Yeah. Good to be here. Good to be anywhere.
Good to
how
hear.
How are you?
I'm doing well.
It's a nice shirt you got on.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Great to see you in Big Gray as well.
Big Gray?
Yeah.
This is my seal shirt.
Your what?
My elephant shirt.
Oh, okay.
You can pick whatever animal you want, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good day. How about the Blues, huh?
Big win for them, huh?
Absolutely.
That's about as big as it gets, I guess, winning a Game 7 on the road. That's as big of a win as you can have, right, to win a championship? Game 7 on the road, that's bigger than winning at home, obviously. That's the best you could do. That was the apex of sports last night for a Blues fan. You have that nervous feeling all day. You convince yourself, we can win on the road. It's not a big deal. But in the back of your mind, you're nervous at what can happen. You're nervous at like, oh, man, this other crowd's going to be crazy. But to be able to go in there and dominate the way they did.
In Boston.
And they straight up dominated. I mean, that was a beat down.
Yeah. They had two goals in the first period. And, it held that way for a long time. And then finally in the third, they just shut it down. They shut the door right in Boston's face. And a rare championship loss for a Boston team.
Yeah, you really hate it for them.
Yeah. It doesn't happen that often.
That is a tease, though, right? I mean, to win game six on the road. You go, you have your back against the wall. You gut out a win the way they gutted out a win. You get the home ice back. You get your fans there ready to go for a game seven at home. And then you completely lay an egg. Like, that's tough to see, right?
Yeah, and you know, it was the highest rated NHL game in 25 years.
What kind of numbers did it do?
I haven't looked at the numbers. I just saw that it was the highest rated NHL game.
Okay.
I believe since 94.
Okay.
I'll try to see what kind of numbers it did.
Is that surprising or?
I don't know. I don't know a lot about the NHL ratings.
I mean, I didn't know if this one was like a – I didn't know if this series was captivating people in that way.
It did a 6.2 overnight rating. So the highest overnight recorded for an NHL game since they began tracking it in 94.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, especially with a city like St. Louis.
Yeah, but they're chasing their first title. I mean, obviously, I don't know of any superstars on St. Louis. I don't know if hockey really even has the superstar effect. But I think all of us are suckers for Game 7s, right?
I think so. I mean, I think the casual sports fan was tuning in last night.
I mean, even the casual sports fans, obviously the hardcore sports fans, they all gravitate towards Game 7s, the idea of winner go home, the ultimate idea of winner take all.
Yeah. Yeah. It was something to see. I did not think it would just be total domination like that on Boston's home ice.
Are we rooting for a Game 7 tonight? Like, not to completely hijack the St. Louis Blues victory and make it NBA, but I'm just asking, like, along those same lines of Game 7s and me saying that that's both the greatest victory and the toughest defeat. Because if you're a Bruins fan, you would rather have just lost Game 6, right?
Instead of
Game 7 at home. Like, you'd rather just lost Game 6, right?
Mm-hmm.
And not been one win away from a championship.
I think so. Especially having to lose at home, where you feel supremely confident. And, you know, you've had the best team in the NHL this season. But, yeah, I mean, Game 7 in the NBA, I think that's what we're rooting for at this point. Or at least I am.
Did you see the footage at Busch Stadium when it was announced that the Blues had won a championship?
I did not see. Were they having a big watch party in Busch Stadium or something?
Well, there were a bunch of people there. I was assuming it was a baseball game.
Oh.
Right?
It would make sense that the Cardinals would be playing baseball this time of the year. I thought maybe they had a big viewing party or something.
They actually were.
So the Cardinals were not playing?
They had really packed out everything. They had packed out their own stadium. They had packed out the baseball stadium. Like they sold out, you know, they did the thing that everyone else does, right? Like where you, when your team's not playing, you sell out your arena to let people, you either sell tickets or let people come in for a watch party and you sell them concessions, right? I mean, the Preds did it when the Preds were making their run.
Titans
do it for the draft. I mean, I don't think the Titans have ever really done it for, like, a football game.
I mean, did the Preds do anything in Nissan Stadium?
Oh, I don't think so. No, I think they just did it at their own venue, like at Bridgestone.
But the Titans weren't involved in that hockey mess?
Not that I remember.
Well, it's good to see Busch Stadium getting involved, I guess.
I guess they had such a big demand at their own venue that they went ahead and let people come in, into Busch Stadium as well. That's pretty cool. A lot of people in St. Louis wanting a championship, and obviously St. Louis is a little different than most sports cities because they have been dealing with grief, right? They've been dealing with loss. I don't want to say they lost like a part of their identity, but I would say that's a pretty humbling thing to have happen.
Oh, to lose one of your teams?
To have a team just pack up and say, I'm out. See ya.
Yeah. I mean, that would be difficult as a fan of that city.
Yeah, I mean, it would make you almost feel second rate.
Well, and you got to realize you're St. Louis, you know.
Well, what does that mean? Just that they are second rate?
Yeah. I mean, just in terms of the big cities. They're just one of those fringe cities, you know. They're like a Sacramento or a Memphis or a, you know, just kind of not really.
Do you think of them that way?
Yeah.
Like, I think of St. Louis as having a pretty good fan base, but I'm really just judging by the Cardinals, right? Like, I know a lot of Cardinals fans, and I know that the Cardinals support their team.
I know. I just view it in terms of the city. You know what I mean? Just throwing population, throwing everything. There's some cities that are just fringe cities to whether or not they're a pro sports town. You know, they might have one team. Maybe they got a baseball team or an NFL team or, like a Jacksonville.
Well, I think of St. Louis as bigger than Jacksonville because, like I said, St. Louis at one time had three professional teams, you know, the Blues, the Cardinals, and the Rams. Like, Jacksonville just has Jacksonville.
Well, I could see where they
– San Antonio just has San Antonio.
Right.
Or, I mean, just, you know, the Spurs, I guess is how I should say that. San Antonio just has the Spurs.
I don't know. I guess to me St. Louis is kind of like that.
I mean, maybe you're right. I didn't think of St. Louis leaving – or having the Rams leave was because of the city. It was more so because the city was like, yeah, we're not paying for this stadium. And the owner was like, well, we would love to be in Los Angeles. That we can't pass up this opportunity to bring the NFL back to Los Angeles. But I would say that was a pretty big blow to the ego of a city.
I wonder if those people are still Rams fans.
Probably not. I don't know, maybe. I was going to say, or they might just have turn their back on the NFL because the NFL is kind of complicit in their city getting stabbed in the back. Like the NFL is all about them moving to Los Angeles. So now they're just going to wrap their arms around and embrace these other teams that are still there. And it might end up making them better sports fans. Like, I don't remember. Was Seattle thought of this great sports town before the Supersonics left?
I wouldn't think so.
Like, do the Seahawks have this big home field advantage that I was unaware of?
I don't know.
The MLS team obviously probably wasn't even a thing back then, or it might have been. I don't know.
I mean, I really only think of Seattle as the Seahawks, which, I mean, now that's all they are.
But
the Mariners, I guess.
Once they lost the Supersonics, they, I mean, they kind of became, for at least a little while, the go-to sports city in America when it came to great fans. Like the 12th man in Seattle was a thing, right? I mean, that was a constant big story when you watched those games. You saw the Sounders games and, you know, in MLS, those, they were packing out those stadiums for that game, for that team in those games. I think you saw a little bit of that with St. Louis, and I would imagine this Blues Stanley Cup championship feels an extra sweet because of that. Say it feels a little extra special. Get a little bit of your identity, and I think that's why you had, you know, so many people lining up in not only where the Blues play. I'm not even going to pretend to know the name of their arena. I'm not even going to pretend that. Wherever the Blues play. And then you had them spilling out even into the Cardinals.
Is it? Yeah, I don't know. St. Louis.
Is it St. Louis? Yeah, I mean, they play in St. Louis.
I know. Busch Arena? I don't know. I'm trying to think of some things, companies based out of there.
That championship probably feels a little bit sweeter after being told you're not good enough a couple years ago by the NFL.
And the whole thing about being last in the standings back in January.
Yeah, I mean, I know you've been really hung up on that. I think the whole thing.
Yeah, I think it's great.
I think the whole thing of getting your team stolen away from you is actually a bigger redemption story.
I don't think that's a bigger story for this particular team.
Maybe not for this particular team, but this particular city, I would say it is.
Having the Rams stolen away and now you win a hockey championship?
I can't imagine what that does to your psyche, man. Like, that's the ultimate. We always make these weird analogies about sports breakups, but that's the ultimate breakup, right? The NFL is like, you're not good enough. We're out of here. And you get left NFL team, and you all of a sudden, like I said, you're probably questioning whether or not you're good enough.
Yeah, but I think just the people who are fans of the Blues that are just hockey fans are probably more impressed by coming from dead last.
Sure, but I don't know how many hockey fans there were in St. Louis. Like, I don't know.
Well, I don't know how many people are just fans of the town and are fans of the teams. You know what I mean?
Judging by the people over the Blues fever or whatever the hell you want to call it overtaking the city, I'm going to guess most of those people are there just because they want to see their city win a championship. The same as people started flocking to Nashville because they wanted to see the Preds win a championship. Even though they didn't really truly care about the Preds, they just kind of wanted to be there celebrating.
It's kind of a weird thing when a team goes on a championship run like that.
It's a cool thing, man. It brings the whole city in.
Well, it brings in people who otherwise would not be there. You know, it just kind of it brings the city together, though.
I mean, you want your guys to win, and you, like, usually if you live in a city, like, very rarely are you going to be rooting against those guys. You still want, like, good things for your city. It's, we get the same thing every 4 years for the Olympics, and hell, we get wrapped up in it even for the World Cup, and people who don't like soccer still find themselves at the bar drinking and celebrating America.
Just like we will with the Women's World Cup.
Nah, I'm not doing
final this year.
Probably not going to do it for them.
It's a good excuse to celebrate.
We'll see. I haven't got wrapped up in it just yet.
Yeah, you remember how you celebrated 4 years ago. Don't you?
I mean, I actually do because I was working at a restaurant at the time and I was having to do watch parties for them. So
you were celebrating.
I was working, but I mean, there was a celebration.
Yeah. I'm sure we'll do it again this year.
Yeah, maybe.
I didn't know you ever worked at a restaurant.
I sort of kind of did. I was really just, I don't want to say stealing money from them because they were voluntarily giving it to me, but they were paying me to do some, like, outside sales stuff, and usually I wasn't actually doing anything. I was the ultimate time theft, the time thief.
Just hanging out in the bathroom?
No, I didn't have to be at the restaurant most. I could just ride around.
No.
I'm talking to clients.
Just out driving around. Just.
I mean, I'd always make my friends do their parties and, like, go drink there and stuff, so, like, I was bringing people in. But not enough to, like, justify the salary I was having. And at the time, I was doing a radio on the AM station that died here. that, you know, you had to pay to be on. So, like, it was really just funding my radio habit as I was trying to, you know, get advertisers and get acclimated as a 25-year-old budding professional.
Did you get fired?
No, they sold ownership.
No.
So then, like, they actually brought people in who knew what they were doing, and they were, like, basically trying to interview people to see if they should keep their job or not. And I was like, I'm not going to waste anybody's time because the moment we talk and you figure out what I've been doing, you're not going to want to keep me. So let's just cut out the middleman. I got things I got to go do.
It was nice knowing you.
Yeah. Appreciated the last like 5 or 6 months of making decent money.
That sounds like a good mutual departure.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I hosted sports trivia for them. That was good enough. I brought a lot of people in for sports trivia. You know, now that I actually think about it, I was actually a pretty good employee. I just felt like I wasn't doing what I was supposed to be doing, but I still brought people in.
I mean, if that was what you were supposed to do, you did it.
Yeah, okay.
It doesn't matter how you do it, you did it.
Thanks, man. The one night I did have to work, though, was that damn Floyd Mayweather-Manny Pacquiao fight. That was brutal.
I remember that.
That was also the Kentucky Derby. I was there working from, like, noon to, like, 2 a.m. That was brutal. I feel like I earned all my money just that day. That stupid fight. Matt was talking hockey. Great hockey segment by us.
That was fun.
Man, it's like we're lifelong fans of the NHL, the way we broke down that.
What casual hockey fans?
I mean, I do like the storyline surrounding the city. I do think that's my takeaway from it, at least. I know you like the whole idea that they finished, or they were in last in, what, January?
Mm-hmm.
And then rallied to win the whole thing. I mean, that's cool, too. Like, I don't want to sound like I don't think it's cool. It's just, to me, I think it's bigger for the city of being left for dead.
I like the city of St. Louis in general, too.
I've never actually been.
It was only about 5 hours from where I grew up. 4.5,
yeah.
5 hours maybe. So we would go there from time to time.
Okay.
We used to go to Six Flags up there.
Right.
I told you my Six Flags stories,
sure,
about how I could ride Batman but not Mr. Freeze. And, you know, it's like half the roller coasters I could ride and half I couldn't.
Because you weren't tall enough?
No.
Oh, no.
No, I met the height requirement. It was It was a seatbelt issue. You got to be able to strap in.
Brutal.
You know, and I was,
were you with people?
Yeah. Yeah. My family and my friends.
Ugh.
So.
Man.
But Six Flags was fun on the rides I could do. I just rode Batman like 3 or 4 times. Batman was cool because your legs dangled.
Your stumpy little overweight legs.
Yeah, my stumpy overweight legs, they dangled off the
little tree trunks.
Yeah, like a couple of tree trunks, that's right. It was fun though.
Ah, man. Okay, well, let's just go to break. Alright, back on the program. You got anything else you want to say about the Blues? Because you really got wrapped up in this run.
Yeah, I mean, I've been there since the beginning of the Blues run.
Here's your chance to celebrate, to beat your chest.
I'm very happy
for the Blues,
and I don't have much else to say. I went up in the arch one time, felt it sway. It was a similar feeling to, I imagine, what the people there are feeling today. You know?
You're feeling pretty much just as happy as they are.
I am. It's kind of my city. I think I've made it clear. I mean, I've always been, if I had to pick an NHL team, it would have been the Blues. So, big St. Louis guy. I've told you that.
Okay, I wanted to give you proper chance to celebrate.
I imagine, I wish I could be at Anheuser-Busch right now, just going through the tour there, you know?
Yeah.
And then drinking some beer, going up in the arch. It's just, you know, that's just that city.
That's just that city.
It's just beer and Six Flags and the Cardinals and the Blues and the arch. That would be my top 5 things about St. Louis. Pretty distinct 5. I don't know of anything else really that matters. Arch, beer, Cardinals, Blues. Six Flags.
Well, I'm happy for you. I'm glad you got a championship. You've been on a really good run. Like, all your teams have been pretty good lately. Like, the Bears, the Blues, the Dodgers. all of your guys have made pretty good runs so far. I mean, the Lakers, you didn't really have good luck with them, but luckily your Raptors have been pretty good this year too. So, like, you've been on a pretty good stretch of having your teams win.
Like, I don't want to sound like a bandwagon fan here, but I do get really invested in certain teams when they're making a run. It's just,
I feel you.
It's just a thing that I'm able to do.
I'm happy to see your teams. I mean, the Dodgers have been in the World Series the last 2 years. Now, granted, they haven't won one yet, but they've been there, and that's good enough for some people. Your Bears were really good, and
Cardinals have been a little bit down.
Your Bears and your Saints and your Patriots were all, like, you know, a part of the final three or four teams.
That's where it ends. Not my Patriots. Come on.
Your guy Tom Brady, another ring.
I mean, I respect Tom Brady.
Didn't work out so much with LeBron this year, but Kawhi Leonard, he had your back. Your Raptors are one win away.
The Packers didn't have a very good year, and I'm not a Packers fan, Ben is, but I'm an Aaron Rodgers fan.
Sure.
And he had a bad year.
Yeah, but he got to be in Game of Thrones, so his year is still going okay.
And they had a bad year. Game of Thrones had a pretty bad year, too.
That's true.
Yeah.
They can't all be winners. But
so some of my teams wore down.
The Vols, I mean, the basketball team only went to the Sweet 16. But luckily your Virginia Wahoos, I mean, they were able to pick you up.
Your Crimson Tide got their ass beat, though.
That's true. Crimson's Cody's Elephants, they got destroyed by Clemson. So great drop in by Ben there.
Yeah.
Some of your teams are getting so close. You kind of feel like...
I'm going to give you a list of who my actual teams are so that this doesn't happen anymore.
What do you mean? Am I misrepresenting you?
No, you're not.
Okay.
But I'm not really a fan of these teams. I think you're exaggerating a bit of me being a fan.
Okay.
I don't have any team apparel of any of these teams.
I just didn't want to act like I was misrepresenting you because I want to be fair and balanced here.
I just think you're exaggerating a bit. I like watching teams make a run to championships.
All right.
I'm not actively rooting for them, really.
I was just here to offer you congratulations.
I actually like the Bears. I want to make that very clear.
So that's officially your team moving forward.
The Bears are my NFL team.
Will you go outside and get our whiteboard? We need to get this track down so we can get a picture of it later as we go through. We're going to lock Cody down now.
Well, you got to realize, I grew up in a rural area, not a pro sports town. So I never had teams, really.
Sure.
I only had the Vols for the most part.
Okay.
I've always wanted an NFL team because I've always loved watching the NFL, but I never really was, you know, like I said, when I was a kid, I was like, the Cowboys, whatever.
Sure.
And then I came over here and I was like, the Titans. I don't really like the Titans. So, I don't know. I mean, I think the Bears are my team.
All right.
I adopted them before the season started.
Cam, write it down. NFL, Bears. Leave some room at the top to put Cody McClure's official favorite teams. NFL, Bears.
Can you not pick a team that, like, isn't just a direct rival? Like,
nah, I like it now. I mean, who would have thought Knoxville, Tennessee's best radio show would have a Bears versus Packers rivalry on it? But here we are.
Yeah, here we are. I mean,
I feel the tension between you two building.
A real battle for the division.
I've said it recently. You know, like we've all kind of given up caring about the Vols. So, like, I'm full NFL. I'm going full Pack right now. I changed a lot of my stuff recently to just be Packers.
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll have to we should have some watch parties when the Packers and Bears play this year. Or maybe we could take a trip to Lambeau.
Yeah, they're opening the season.
Yeah.
And the historic Soldier Field. They're opening at Soldier Field this year, I believe.
I'm pretty sure that's a pretty hard ticket to find, Bears Packers, especially at Lambeau.
I mean, yeah.
That's probably a tough one.
Well, Lambeau, yes. You probably have some luck at Soldier Field. All right, so we got the first team down. Cody McClure's favorite teams. We have the Chicago Bears. Congratulations to them. Would you like to give us your NBA team now, or would you like to wait until we talk NBA?
My favorite NBA team is the Lakers for now.
Put in parentheses for now, I guess.
Can you do that?
It's where LeBron plays. Wherever LeBron is my favorite team.
So maybe put Lakers / wherever LeBron plays.
But Lakers.
Do you have a plan 3 years from now or 4 years from now if LeBron is to retire?
I'll stick with the Lakers, I guess. Who else am I going to pick in the NBA?
I don't know.
Hawks?
I hear they have a good young core.
I don't want to be a Hawks fan. They've been Grizzlies? Trash for years. So
Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr., that could be good.
I
don't want to sound like a bandwagon fan, but I can't root for a team that's, quote, trash. That seems what it's coming down to.
I'm telling you, I gotta establish these permanent allegiances because I really don't have them established for pro sports, except a couple.
Are you going to get a Bears tattoo to go next to your power tee?
No.
We got to get these permanent allegiances. Because I still feel like the moment that Khalil Mack is no longer Khalil Mack, you're going to abandon the Bears for the flavor of the year.
Not abandon the Bears. I'm telling you.
So let's get a tattoo.
I liked the Bears before Khalil Mack got there.
When? When Rex Grossman went
last
to the Super Bowl?
Last year. Check the tape, man. Check the film.
Last year is when Khalil Mack went there.
No, I know. I mean, before the season, though, because he went right at the start of the season. I liked him even before that. I did too.
You were riding the tales of Mitch Trubisky coming in.
Khalil Mack got traded like in July, right?
They had a good defense building before Khalil Mack ever got there, and I was watching it.
Yeah, but I'm still gonna say that I'm pretty sure that you were rooting for. I guess they agreed like right before the season, yeah, like September 2nd.
Who do you think I was rooting for in 2017?
2017, I don't know. I know in 2018 for the opening night you were rooting for the Packers against the Bears, and then the Bears beat the Packers, and you came out saying, you know what, I'm now a Bears fan.
That's not true.
You've acknowledged that you're an Aaron Rodgers fan, so I don't think this is much of a leap to say that you were rooting in game one for Aaron Rodgers and the Packers.
It's hard for me to root against Aaron Rodgers. That's why when they play the Bears, it's tough for me.
Okay.
I don't know who I would have been rooting for there. Probably my team.
You're kind of like my sister's fiance, who is both a Miami Hurricane and a Florida State Seminole fan.
That's not possible.
That's kind of wrong.
That's kind of what Packers and Bears are.
All right. Baseball is the Cardinals.
Lock him into the Cardinals.
I have officially gotten off the Dodgers bandwagon.
Wow. So all of a sudden Clayton Kershaw looks human and Cody just throws him to the side.
No. I was never as invested with the Dodgers as I would have liked.
Are you just mad at Magic Johnson for what he did to the Lakers, so now you're going to not root for his Dodgers?
Yes.
Are they on some like historic home run streak where like every game they've been hitting one?
I haven't been paying attention.
The Dodgers are really good. I'll be honest. All right, so this is progress. You're jumping off of a winning team that's probably going to get to the World Series again to hop on a Cardinals team that's basically around 500 that got beat 9-0 by the Marlins last night.
You can see I'm being honest. The Lakers and the Bears are also nowhere close to a championship right now.
Bears are pretty close.
Didn't the Bears win the division?
Yeah, but they're not close to a championship, I don't think.
I'd say they have one of the top six odds to win the Super Bowl this year.
Hockey, I'm going to go with the Blues.
So you're going to stick with the Blues? So, like, I don't want to hear it next year when you get wrapped up into Preds fever and try to go to Nashville for a game. This is your permanent list. We're finally.
Give me the Preds.
We're locking you down as a 26-year-old man. You can't no longer jump bandwagon to bandwagon. We are signing this in blood.
Give me the Preds.
Cam's rotting in Red Expo to signify blood. This is a blood oath.
I had fun watching the Preds on their
road. All right, we got the Preds.
I'm not going to jump on the Blues just because, although, man, what a historic. Now, I've already got the Cardinals. That's one
team. You already got your Blues championship.
That's one team for St. Louis.
Today is the peak of your Blues fandom, man. It's all downhill from here, so you might as well jump off.
What is left?
Just NCAA, football, and basketball.
Tennessee.
We'll go Vols. Just
that's
go Vols on that.
Obviously.
Vols/Bama.
There's no Bama.
/Bama.
Do not put /Bama. Please, Cam, don't put that. I'll just erase it.
Just leave it off.
Is there anything else?
Bama win convenient. Okay, that works. Bama win Tennessee gets its fifth loss.
I'm just going to erase that before I put it up.
Bama win Tennessee loses its fifth game of the season.
That doesn't ever happen. I've never been a damn Alabama fan. I don't know where that even came from. I get very upset when you say that. Are there any other leagues?
I mean, who's your favorite boxer? Do you have a favorite boxer right now? I mean, I feel like Andy Ruiz should be right up your alley.
Yeah.
Is he the fat guy that beat?
I mean, he's my favorite boxer.
Everybody said he looks like Butterbean.
Yeah. Well, they said he looked more like the kid from Up.
I don't like him. I don't care.
Okay, he's not your favorite. I guess we got it wrapped. We got NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, NCAA.
MLS, Atlanta United.
Okay.
My favorite MLS team.
Okay.
I do want to put that because I went to one of their games.
Makes sense. Is that what is why that would be your favorite team then?
That would probably be – is that you and Cam's favorite team? You guys are big Atlanta guys.
I don't have a favorite MLS team.
So me and Cam have – we agree on one. That's good.
Good. I mean, I guess if I had to pick. I mean, Nashville's getting one though, so I don't have a favorite team.
Favorite NASCAR driver?
Yeah, put your NASCAR driver down over on the side maybe, Cam, if you can fit it.
I don't even know who my favorite NASCAR driver is.
Okay, we don't need
Joey
to put
Logano.
It
on.
No.
I can hook you up with a picture of him.
No, definitely not either one of those guys.
All right, well, we locked down Cody's favorite teams. There was a somewhat of a big report in college basketball yesterday. I guess. We'll wait and see if anything happens, but NCAA says it's coming. It's coming. We're coming after you with some level one violations. We'll talk about that next. Stick with us. Back on the program, did you see the big college basketball news yesterday, Cody McClure? Did you see it?
I was very invested in hockey yesterday. I must have
all day?
It. Yes.
All day you were just sitting around waiting for hockey?
I was, yeah. And I had another athletic event going on, too. So I did not see the college basketball thing.
Okay. Well, never mind. We won't talk about it then. If you couldn't be bothered to keep up with it, I just won't give it to the audience either.
I feel like that would be depriving the audience, wouldn't it? I'm sure they want to know. And quite frankly, I want to know. Because I didn't know already, so I'd like to know. I know?
Fine. I'll give it to you. A high-ranking NCAA official told CBS Sports on Wednesday that, quote, at least six Division I men's basketball programs will receive notices of allegations for Level 1 violations. Level 1 violations are the most serious infractions under NCAA rules. This is all stemming from the federal government's investigation into corruption.
Six college basketball teams.
At least six college basketball teams
are looking at Level 1 violations. Through who? Were the NCAA violations?
Yeah.
No. Oh. So this is the same stuff as the, you know, stemming from the FBI investigation and all that stuff, and now the NCAA's got to get their paws in it.
Correct. Yeah, the NCAA said, look, you don't get in the way of a federal investigation. Activity was going on during that span that was within our purview, but now that the court cases are done, we're now in a position where you're likely to see notices of allegations going to institutions that have violated NCAA rules. Those allegations are coming.
I bet these schools are just kind of laughing at the NCAA.
You think
so? It's just kind of like, hey, we just went up against the FBI. You bring whatever you got, NCAA. We're not afraid of you.
Man, well, there's a difference between proving guilt that can be punished by the law versus the NCAA feeling they have enough to go off of.
They're not going to give anybody a death penalty or anything like that.
Well, maybe not a death penalty, but I mean, they could get in trouble. I mean, they could put on, like, probation, tournament ban. I don't think they're going to go out and, like, you know, shut the program down or anything. So, no, I don't think they're getting the death penalty.
It seems silly to me that the NCAA would punish its best institutions.
Seems kind of like it's hustling backwards, right? But at the same time, they have to do something to try to protect this whole amateur thing.
Well, they need to just quit trying to protect this whole amateur thing.
And then just give up billions of dollars? That seems to also be hustling backwards.
I know they're not going to do that.
One of the things you don't want to do in life, Cody, is hustle backwards. Both of these scenarios you have presented would have the NCAA hustling backwards.
Well, it looks like the NCAA is between a rock and a hard place.
They are in a situation, Cody, that has them between the old proverbial rock and a hard place. Do we punish the Kansases and the Dukes and the UNCs of the world and hurt our product, or do we just keep letting these teams cheat?
whatever way allows them to make the most money is probably what they should do for themselves. That's what they've always done, isn't it? I mean, we really think they're going to touch Duke?
I don't think so, no.
They might touch Kansas.
I'd be surprised if they touch Kansas either. But Kansas is the school that got this whole ball rolling with the whole Philip D'Souza thing.
Well, who else would they
touch?
Is that
his name? Philip D'Souza?
Arizona? LSU, maybe? Philip D'Souza?
Silvio D'Souza. Who the hell's Philip D'Souza? Is that like a...
I think he wrote the Star-Spangled Banner.
Yeah, that checks out. No, that was Francis Scott Key. I know that. That was Francis Scott Key.
Well, who am I thinking of? There's a guy named
Philip D'Souza is somebody.
Some guy named Sousa wrote a patriotic song.
I'm not just walking around thinking of somebody named Philip D'Souza.
John Sousa?
I don't know.
John Philip Sousa. Yes. He was the American March King. He was an American composer and conductor of the late Romantic era, known primarily for American military marches.
And what was his name?
John Philip Sousa.
Yeah. Francis Scott Key, though, wrote the national anthem.
Well, John Philip Sousa did something. What was the patriotic song he did? I remember studying him in school. The Stars and Stripes Forever. I just know that from games. They do that at UT games.
Okay.
You never notice that in the pregame, you know, right before they run through the tee and all that? And now, Stars and Stripes Forever, composed by John Philip Sousa. Not ringing a bell? Okay, maybe it's just me. What were you saying? About Silvio somebody?
Well, I'm just saying this whole NCAA investigation thing started with Kansas getting busted talking to Silvio D'Souza. Not to be confused with John Philip Sousa. They don't want him on scholarship to play basketball. They're not paying him for that.
I wouldn't think so.
No. So, I mean, like, do they take down Kansas? Maybe. I don't know. So far, we've had four schools have assistant coaches plead guilty to accepting bribes from Christian Dawkins in that whole trial, you know? Arizona, Auburn, Oklahoma State, and USC, as in Southern Cal. All four of those had coaches go up there and say, yeah, we took money from Christian Dawkins and other people as they were trying to get us to have our players sign with their agency. Guilty. We did that.
Arizona, Auburn, USC.
And Oklahoma State. There's also testimonies alleged. There were testimonies that alleged that these other schools had also made offers to players and their families. These were to get them to come to school, I believe. Creighton, Kansas, Louisville, NC State, and Oregon. And then, of course, we've had whatever the hell's happened with Will Wade and LSU. Stan Wilcox, the NCAA's vice president of regulatory affairs, told CBS Sports that two programs might receive their notices of allegations by early July, and four more should receive them by the end of summer. So like I said, we got six teams looking to have a hot summer. It's going to be a hot summer for six of these programs. You think they're going to get any of the big guys?
Like Pearl?
I mean, Auburn seems to be... Does Auburn quench the thirst of the public where you're like, hey, I know you think that we don't go after these blue bloods and these big programs. Does Auburn, who is coming off of a Final Four that has Bruce Pearl, who is one of the 10 most visible coaches in college basketball, right? I don't know if he's one of the 10 best, but I mean, he's one of the 10 most visible. He's one of the 10 biggest.
One of the 10 best.
Well, I mean, I think he is, but he is one of the 10 most visible college basketball coaches in the country.
Certainly. But Auburn.
Does Auburn quench that thirst if you're like, hey, Auburn, you're out of here. Bruce Pearl, you're in trouble again?
Not good enough. Because we know they'll go after Bruce Pearl. They've done it before.
Hey, we we can just beat this guy up again. We've already seen him. We know we can kick his ass.
Sean Miller would be one that would satisfy a little more of the thirst, I think.
Arizona? Is that viewed as a bigger deal nationally?
I think so.
I don't disagree. I mean, Arizona is, they're not, I don't consider them a blue blood, but they've had a lot of success since I've been alive. And if you go back to Lute Olson's days and, you know, even the early 2000s. Now, they haven't had so much since like 2010.
A lot of times you could see Arizona in your bracket, and that's a 2 seed or a 3 seed, and you can kind of pencil them in for the Elite Eight. Not in the last couple of years.
But sure.
Yeah. So I would say if they take down Sean Miller in Arizona, that would satisfy a few. But until they take down somebody huge, I mean, they're never going to touch who? Duke, Kentucky, North Carolina, Kansas? I mean, those are the four. If you don't touch any of them, it's just going to keep being the same thing. And it would not be good for the product to hurt one of them.
Like, as Louisville's already serving their time, right? Like, Louisville already got drug through the mud. Like, surely they're not – are they going to go after them too? Like, hey, you know – we've already got Louisville once. We've already got Bruce Pearl once. Let's just take out Auburn and Louisville. Maybe mix in a little Creighton. Because Doug McDermott ain't walking through those doors, and no one really cares about Creighton. Like, Cal Corver, whatever.
It'll be the teams like Creighton probably that'll really suffer. The NCAA will really put its big, powerful fist on them.
UNC and Oregon, like, I mean – that seems like they got the biggest backing, right? I mean, UNC, obviously, the Jordan Jumpman school. Oregon, obviously, the go-to school for Nike.
You know, you can't touch Oregon.
Do they have ultimate immunity? UNC with Michael Jordan and Blue Bloods. Oregon with relative, you know, big success, relatively speaking.
Between Nike and Bull Bowl, I don't think you can touch Oregon in this whole situation.
Oregon might have won the whole damn thing last year if Bull Bowl didn't get hurt.
Oregon was looking good, man. Yeah, he didn't play all year, did he?
I think he played a couple games, then got hurt. I want to say he played a couple games. I want to say he was in the same boat as Darius Garland was. I might be wrong. I didn't watch any of his games at Oregon.
Yeah, I mean, it was very early on if he did play at all. Yeah, he probably played, I think, a couple games maybe.
They could have won it all.
If he had been there, yeah. I mean, they'd be cutting down the nets.
Well, I mean, they would have already cut him down. They wouldn't.
Yeah, they wouldn't be doing it right now.
Yeah. Like,
I mean,
although Bobo might be a little slow, it might take him a little bit longer to get up the ladder, although he's tall.
He
so
wouldn't
like,
use the ladder.
He wouldn't even have to use a ladder, I guess.
No, Bobo would just stand there and cut the net.
His last game was December 12th against San Diego State, or okay. San Diego. So he scored 20 points.
Very early in the season he played. 20 points for Bobo?
Yeah.
What a guy.
Averaged 21 points and 9.6 rebounds in his games. 52% shooting.
Next, I'm going to do my favorite athlete in every sport.
Okay. Have we posted the picture? As Cody McClure made his official stance, as if you're watching on Periscope, you can see the whiteboard has been updated with Cody McClure's favorite teams. He's now locked in. And
I don't know if it's been tweeted out yet. Do you want me to like go ahead and get it on like the station account or?
You can if you want. That's fine, Ben, if you want to get that out there. Because now we're going to hold Cody to the standard where he can no longer refer to.
That's fair, and there will always be receipts, and I only got one team for each league. Now, we can still have rooting interests, like following a series. Like, I can still pull for Kawhi and the Raptors.
Sure. Yeah, obviously.
But they're not my team.
Obviously. You are locked in. Do you feel comfortable with these teams, Cody?
Yes, and I'd like to state that I picked a NASCAR driver, Chase Elliott. Because he drives Jeff Gordon's old car, and he's the son of Bill Elliott. So that's my reason for that.
Okay.
Two guys I used to like watch racing.
So we're comfortable with where we're at here.
At colorful cars. One was the McDonald's car, of course, and then the Rainbow Warrior, you know, Jeff Gordon.
You're comfortable with where we're at in here?
Yeah, yeah. I feel pretty good. I feel pretty good about where we're at.
We'll see what happens with the NCAA as they make these level one, hand down these level one violations.
I think you got to kill somebody good, don't you?
You would think so.
I
know there was a lot of talk, Cody, in NBA circles that people thought that Bill Self might have been in the play for some of those NBA jobs.
You think he's going to get whacked?
I know in the NBA circles, the NBA podcast I listen to, the NBA reporters I listen to and read, they thought Bill Self was a name to watch in terms of trying to jump to the NBA. Now, I don't think any jobs are left going to be open.
You know what I just thought of?
What?
Imagine if the mob was still running college basketball and all this came out.
Like, what do you think?
Saying people would be getting whacked.
Oh, you mean like actually getting whacked?
Literally getting whacked.
Yeah. All right, we got a couple minutes. Let's go to a hat topic. It's rather than trying to squeeze in a commercial break and then just coming back for like 2 minutes. We're not the sports animal. Name everyone in the room's best personality trait.
Is that we each name everyone?
You wrote it, man.
That one seems like it takes more thought.
Name everyone in the room's best personality trait.
Okay. I think you're honest.
Okay.
I think Ben is reliable. So honest, reliable, and I think Cam is joyful. Cam makes me smile.
Okay.
So those would be my answers. If we're just limited, just, you know, one personality trait for everyone.
For Ben, I will go with Ben as agreeable.
Certainly with you.
Agreeable. I mean, that's one of the big personality traits. I mean, that's just, you know, he's warm, friendly, tactful. He's usually free-flowing, and if you ask Ben to do something, he'll do it. He'll agree to it. He's agreeable.
He's a soldier.
Is that offensive? Do you feel offended by that? I mean, I feel like agreeable is a good one.
Ben's responsible.
I mean, responsible wasn't what I was going to go with.
He's dependable. How about that? Dependable.
Agreeable. I mean, you can have yours and I'll have mine. How's that sound?
I'm just saying I feel like we're kind of meeting in the middle on what we said. Like we agree. You know what I mean?
Sure.
I'll just continue with yours.
Can I finish?
I said please continue. It's your turn.
I'm having a really hard time thinking of one for you now. What is Cody's best personality trait? I mean, funny. Does that work? I mean, are you offended by funny?
This is uncomfortable.
You're warm. Cuddly. You're teddy bear. Is that a personality trait, teddy bear?
If you had any idea how many times I got called that in school.
Teddy bear?
By the girls I wanted to date.
Oh, you're just you're the best friend a girl could have. I just want to pinch your cheeks and we can cuddle.
I still never settled.
Honorable. That could be one of your personality traits.
No.
I know. No. I'm just going to go with funny.
Okay, that works.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Cam?
What'd you say for Cam? Joyful?
Nice.
Joyful? Cam's joyful. Cam, too, makes me happy when I see him. I've yet to see Cam in a bad mood here. You ever get in a bad mood? Very rarely. Just
once or twice.
Seems
maybe.
Joyful, yeah.
I've never seen Cam get angry.
I've never seen him get upset.
Throw anything.
Yeah.
You know.
So that's nice. Okay, well, glad we could all.
That's a great hat topic.
Connect more.
Yeah.
I feel like funny is kind of a cop-out.
Oh, I'll take it. I mean, all I said for you was honest. I mean, I don't.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
That's fine.
All right.
Okay. All right, hour one of the books, hour two on deck.